Good morning, I'm Robert Tansley, I'm Life Science Partner at Cambridge Innovation Capital, and I'm very pleased to be sitting here with Dr. Tom Weaver, co-founder and CEO of PetMedics. Tom has combined a career as a scientist, an academic, an administrator, as well as being a serial entrepreneur, and it's great to have the opportunity to talk through some of his experiences through the number of companies he's founded and worked with. PetMedics is your fourth venture, depending on how you count on this. What do you think what lessons have you learned and what have you brought to it from your previous experiences?
Yeah, so actually, I've written a few down to remind, because there's a ton. What was the most important? So I have here, follow your gut feeling, and I guess that's maybe a crude way of putting it, but, you can talk to advisors, but, you have a feeling, a glass of wine with a colleague, and you think this is really going to work. So listen, obviously listen to your advisors; they're very qualified. But through your own network, through your own experience, you'll know whether something is good or not. So to me, and I'm very much a people person, so having having belief in the team usually it's an individual that I'm going to work with. That's really, really important. So I think that's an important lesson. And I already mentioned, don't necessarily listen to the naysayers. I haven't yet, but I'm sure there'll be someone that says, oh, animal health, the market's too small, why are you doing it? So, well, actually it is quite big and substantial, and there's hardly any players. But there's always someone who's gonna say, no, this isn't a good idea. You just have to have the self-belief that they're wrong. Another important point is don't undercapitalize. Don't try and nickel and dime your company as you go through. And I think, which I have done in the past, but I think a good example is the recent experience we've had with the COVID pandemic. So we have made some very important and rapid decisions in the last few months that I think have really led to PetMedics being extremely successful through a difficult time. We've actually accelerated. We haven't stalled or gone backwards. We've actually moved forward in a very positive way. And it was because we made some decisions to insource technology that we had previously outsourced. Because of the pandemic, working with third parties, which again, to save capital, and often it's like, oh, make versus buy. I'm not gonna make it, I'm gonna buy it in. I'm gonna outsource these services to a third party, and I can save some money on the capital investment. Actually, if you're now in a pandemic when you don't get access to those services or the quality of and the dependability of those services aren't very good, you need to bring that in-house. So I had very supportive investors. We were able to make a very rapid decision, an argument and a decision as a team and the board to say we need to bring in some very expensive and technical technology into the company, but we've done that and we've done it successfully, and we're really reaping the rewards for doing it. So, don't go in thinking I've just got to save cash and all that. Another thing is you have to trust the people that you know. And so, like, we've worked together in investments. So, work with people that you've worked with before that you know are trustworthy and can deliver. So I think the investors, the investment community, and one of the reasons why Cambridge is successful, because we've all worked together, we know each other, we trust each other. So I think that's really important. And similarly in services. So for example, in the legal services, LinkedIn every day, I'm getting people trying to sell me stuff from all over. We can help you with headhunting. I like to stick with people who I've worked with before. And so with PetMedics, we actually made a decision. Again, don't undercapitalize, don't underspend. We made a decision very early on to bring our own legal experts, legally trained folks, intellectual property, into the company. So we have our own lawyer in-house to guide us with our development of a very strong and rich intellectual property portfolio. But that doesn't mean we still don't have really good relationships with other legal service groups who I have worked with for many years, like Taylor Vinters, fantastic group of individuals that can give advice and support across the board from very early stages. We're also working with CMS, who worked with Kymab, wrote a lot of their patents. So, I think that's a really good lesson that, stick with people that you know and that you work with. And the other thing is, you can never plan enough. You have to be flexible and fleet of foot. That's one of the really great things about startup companies, because you have that, you have that ability to make changes. You're not like in an academic environment where you've written a grant; it's almost written in stone. You have to stick to that. With a startup and a young company, you're able to move quite quickly and flexibly.
We were speaking earlier about the move from academia, in my case, from clinical medicine into the commercial side. And certainly when I left clinical medicine 25 years ago, it was very much seen as being moving to the dark side. And we've seen a lot of changes in that attitude. And it's actually now been embraced, and the ability to translate at scale has been very much welcomed. But what advice would you give to academics who are wishing to commercialize or translate their research into a broader and commercial outlet?
That's a great question, and I think it comes through experience. For me, you know, there's no single pathway. You know, there's absolutely no way, oh, Tom did it this way, or Alan did it that way, or somebody else did it that way. It's all very individual. So I think people should recognize that there's not a textbook way of doing it. But I think, you know, often I get asked this question, and it's often by people who, should I do a PhD, or should I go into industry? Should I do a postdoc, or should I go into industry? When do I make the move? It isn't necessarily, it used to be, should I go into industry or not? Now it's, I'm going to go into industry, but how far do I go down the academic path before I make the transition? Because I think people now are much more excited about industry as a career opportunity. And my advice, and again, this is just Tom speaking, but I really value personally, in my case, is the lessons you learn from an academic career pathway. So you learn things like how to write a grant, which is basically how to justify receiving money for your research. You know, how to really encapsulate your ideas in a very simple way and sell that to someone who's going to give you money. So grant writing is a good way of learning that. Also, doing science at postdoctoral level is essential. You really learn how to deal with failure. Because most scientists will have experienced, things don't go the way you expect them to go. And what a postdoc, and a PhD as well, teaches you is, you know, never give up. There's always a way around it. Think of a better way, another way around it, and you can solve it. And these are really important lessons that when you come into a company, you're going to need. And so having that, having that ability to think around a problem and to not to give up is really good. And I guess the other thing is, you should really only do it if, at least in terms of being a CEO or a founder rather than just joining industry, it really has to be in your bones. You have to be committed. So many times I see people kind of talking about, oh, I want to set this company up. They're a professor, they got a great life, you know, at their university, and I'm going to be a professor and kind of do it on the side and all that. That's never going to work. You know, you really have to commit. That might be taking a sabbatical, coming out, or, you know, really putting skin in the game, you know, one day a week, 2 days a week, but, you know, really, really being committed, and maybe finding somebody in your lab or a friend of yours that you can work with that together that you can really put the hard work into, because it's an awful lot of hard work.
And I must be thinking that people like Richard and Matt mm-hmm. and Phil and, mm-hmm. and more recently Alan, yeah. the great role models. Yeah. The fact you can have world-leading science and be yep. a really credible academic yep. and yet still have yep. the potential to translate at scale. Tom, it's been a pleasure spending some time with you, and thank you very much for taking time to share your thoughts. Thank you very much for listening. And if you'd like to learn more about CIC and PetMedics, please join us on our website, which is cic.vc. Thank you very much.